Okay. So last week, what I did was kind of, I guess you could call a machine gun approach. I shot as many bullets as I can, as fast as I could, and hoped to hit you all with some knowledge that maybe you didn't have before. This week, what I want to do is talk to you a little bit about the fact that there's a lot of different ways to study the Bible. And when somebody says, we're going to do a study of the prophets or the minor prophets or whatever, there's two or three different kind of visions that comes to mind. And one of them is, all right, we're going to do a verse by verse examination. We're going to find out what the history is and who did what and where and how and when and all that. And then other people get the idea, oh, isn't that nice? We're going to see what there is in this book that we can use. And some people just get the idea that it's going to be boring, okay? So my approach is, and I've shared that this before, what is there we can use? So rather than a study on Ezekiel, we're doing a study of lessons from Ezekiel. Does that make sense? And so today, we're going to talk a little bit about something that I see when I read Ezekiel. And that is, why did God choose Ezekiel? Okay? And so I'm going to throw it open for just a minute. So think about that question. Why did God choose Ezekiel, of all people? And see what you have to say first. And then I'm going to go through my lesson, and you can find out that you knew a lot, okay? Because probably you'll think of a lot of things I'm going to talk about. So why did God choose Ezekiel? Somebody tell me what you think.
Because he was paying attention?
Maybe so. What else?
Because he did what God asked him to?
What else?
Maybe because Ezekiel felt inadequate, because he also often calls people who think they can't do it.
Yeah, sometimes God calls people who think they can't do it, and so he used Ezekiel for Ezekiel's sake. Anything else? Might as well talk. I got to clean my glasses. Anybody? Anybody? Say it again. Okay. Okay. Maybe God was thinking about the kind of person that he might be a good person to hear from. Is that what you said? I have this hearing thing, so you're way back there. Okay. All right. So you got a chance to kind of tell me what you think. Now let's see if any of that lines up with what I came up with. Okay. The first thing I think of is the fact that Ezekiel recognized God's voice. Okay, in chapter 3, it says, God said to me 6 times, and that's just in chapter 3. So it's obvious that Ezekiel recognized God's voice, okay? And you don't ever hear him say, who's that? What? No, that can't be God. You know, you don't hear him say that. He might have thought it and just didn't write it down, but you don't hear him say that. And all too often, I think sometimes we go, that's not God. He's not talking to me. And the reason that he didn't say, no, it can't be God, is because he had heard God's voice many times before. So this is not the first time he ever heard God's voice. He was already a priest, already a prophet. And so he was experienced at it. Okay? Remember, Samuel was sleeping in the temple, I think, synagogue, one of those. Anyway, Samuel was sleeping, and God came to him and spoke to him in the night, and he said, who's that? Well, Samuel was a boy and had never heard God's voice, and he didn't recognize it yet, okay? So, but Eli, who had heard it many times before, did recognize God. So, there's a verse in the Bible in John. It says, and the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep using their names. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. So it's important that we know his voice. But here it says, the sheep know his voice. So somewhere deep inside, there is a piece of us that's so connected to God that we know when he is trying to speak to us. Okay? So here's another reason. Why did God choose Ezekiel? Because Ezekiel was willing to be God's megaphone.
okay? A megaphone is a gadget, and you all know this. You speak in one end, and your words get amplified, and then the words come out loud on the other end, okay? Ezekiel was willing to do that for God. In the verses later, it's in Ezekiel, it says, "Don't be afraid of the people or what they say. It is true, they will be turned against you and try to hurt you. Their words will be sharp like thorns and will sting like scorpions. But don't be afraid of what they say. You must tell them what I say, whether they listen or not." So whether they listened or not, Ezekiel was willing to be that megaphone. God poured words into Ezekiel. And then Ezekiel changed it to something the people could understand, not changed it, but turned it into something the people could understand and spoke those same words to the people in a way that they could figure out. Okay? In Ezekiel 11:25, it says, "Then the vision I had seen went up from me, and I told the exiles everything the Lord had shown me." So not only did he hear it, but he told it. And sometimes I think all too often we hear God's word, but we're not really willing to say, "Hey, God told me this." You know, we feel like it's a little bit arrogant to say, "God talked to me." Okay. And so sometimes we miss out on things. He was willing to be God's megaphone. Over and over again, God said, "Say this to the people. Say this to the people. Say this to the people." Why would he have said that if Ezekiel was not willing to say it to the people? After two or three times, he either would have sent him into a whale like he did Jonah, or he would have given up, okay? He continued to deliver God's message even when the people wouldn't listen. Remember, it said whether they listen or not. So he was willing to be God's megaphone, and that involves the listening and the telling. And he never gave up. He just kept on and kept on. They didn't listen to him. They wouldn't believe him. Sometimes they even doubted if it was God's word or not. They changed the word in their own minds to be something else. And yet Ezekiel kept on and kept on and kept on. So the next thing is, Ezekiel was willing to do what God said. Somebody said that. Was that you? Yeah, Ezekiel was willing to do what God said. Is God going to tell me to move to New York if I'm not willing to sell my house and move to New York? You know, probably not. He might do it anyway, but probably not. In Ezekiel 12:7, it says, Ezekiel says, "So I did as I was commanded." Okay, so God told him all these things to do, and then he actually did it. Think about what he did. He laid on one side for 390 days, the other side for 40 days. He built a little city, cut his hair, burned the city. He did all this in front of people who were looking at him like, huh? He sang a sad song about death and destruction. Again, everybody's going, "You're a downer. What a bummer." And he went where God sent him. So he was willing to do what God said. And there's another thing. He was willing to listen. Okay? If you think about it, sometimes in our daily lives we pray and we pray and we pray. And we say, "Give me this, give me that." Or, "God bless this, God bless that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord." But do we ever stop and listen? That's harder. Okay? When Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord, you remember the IFO? Identified flying object, okay? He might have run around screaming, going, "Oh, guess what I saw, everybody? Look at this. There's this wonderful thing over here. I saw the glory of the Lord." He could have done that, but instead he fell on his face, and he waited, and he listened, okay? It says, "I fell to the ground." Ezekiel says, "I fell to the ground. I bowed with my face to the ground, and then I heard a voice speaking to me." So he, instead of thinking about himself and spreading this word, he stopped. Oh my gosh. He bowed on the ground and he listened, and God spoke. He got still. He got quiet. He listened. And then it says in another spot, "Then the Spirit came into me and lifted me up on my feet, and I listened to the one who spoke to me." Okay? Ezekiel 9:5, "As I listened." Three or four other places, "and then I heard," or "as I listened," those kinds of things. So why did God choose Ezekiel? And I think somebody touched on this as well. Number one, Ezekiel was the right person for the job. That's why God talked to him, because he was the right person for the job. He had the right skill set or the right personality, and we talked about that in class a little bit this morning. He had the right skill set. He wasn't a shrinking violet. Violet, you know what that is, young people? It's a shy person, you know? And so God could, and he might, have a shrinking violet, a shy person, talk. But most often, he's probably going to go to the ones with the big mouths and say, here, say this. You know, because they're more genetically predisposed to being willing to speak. God does work miracles, though, with some of those shy people. But I think most of the time, he works with what he's got, which is perfectly understandable, okay? I think he chose Ezekiel. I think he was the right person for the job because he was in the right situation. He was a priest and he was a prophet. And since he already had his street cred as a priest and a prophet, God's much more likely to ask him to say things than someone nobody had ever heard from before. Now, it does happen. I mean, John the Baptist, nobody had ever heard of him, and God used him to scream, he's coming, okay? But I think God chooses people in the right situation at the right time. If God wanted to change a corporation and make them stop cheating, he probably wouldn't choose the guy in the mailroom to talk to. He'd probably choose somebody a little closer to the top, okay? Ezekiel was the right person for the job because he was in the right place. I just messed myself up. There we go. He was in the right place. He needed somebody to talk to the Jews in exile. And remember, Bob told us that there was a prophet that stayed in the city. There was one or two that went out around the city in the neighboring countryside. And there was the ones who went way off with the exiled Jews. So God situated somebody in each group that needed to hear these things. And so as we study the different prophets, you're going to see they all seem to be saying similar things, or a lot of them are, but it's because they have different audiences. So God chose someone who's in the right place and also somebody who is there at the right time. So it'd be kind of silly if God told me to warn Jerusalem that they were going to be destroyed, because it's already been done. It's kind of too late, you know? And it might be equally silly for him to tell Noah, now you be sure and tell Jerusalem I'm going to destroy them, because Jerusalem and the Israelites and all that, it hadn't happened yet, okay? Jerusalem might have existed, I don't know, but the Jews hadn't happened yet. So Ezekiel was the right person for the job, okay? So the question we always seem to ask is, dear God, how come I can never hear your voice? And then look, he's got his computer, his headphones. It's not in the bulletin. I found one where they had even more stuff going, okay? So here's our question, how come I never hear your voice? Or to put it another way, why hasn't God chosen me? God, I want to go. I want to do. I want to be Billy Graham. I want to be Mother Teresa. I want to be Sarah. I never say her last name because I don't remember what it is now. It used to be Frazier.
Well, technically.
It is? It still is. Okay, Sarah Frazier. Okay. All right. So here's some questions to ask when you're considering, why hasn't God chosen me? And there's one slide I left out. I hope I don't forget to say it when the time comes. The first thing is, do you recognize God's voice? Okay? Now, the verse said, my sheep know my voice. And we are all God's sheep. But sometimes we might hear something through somebody or in some situation or through the Bible or wherever we hear it, and we might not know for sure. We might say to ourselves, nah, that can't be God. Oh my gosh, what am I thinking? God's not going to talk to me. And I think sometimes maybe we don't hear because we have this preconceived expectation. We already have decided what we think it's going to sound like when God talks to us. We've already decided what God is probably going to say to us or what kinds of things he's going to say to us. In Job, it says, God's thundering voice is amazing. He does great things that we cannot understand. Years and years ago, this is kind of what I thought. If God's going to talk to me, it's going to be this thundering voice, and it's going to be amazing and grand, and I'm waiting, God. Come on, God. Give me that, God. But that's not always the way it happens. If you go to... Uh-oh, something's missing. Oh, no, it's not. Never mind. Then the Lord said to Elijah, we're talking about Elijah now, go stand in front of me on the mountain. I, the Lord, will pass you by. Then a very strong wind blew. Now, don't you think Elijah was probably thinking, it's a wind. That's got to be God. He comes in like a wind. That would be God. I, the Lord, will pass. Then a very strong wind blew. The wind caused the mountains to break. This has got to be God's voice. It broke large rocks in front of the Lord. Oh my gosh, he's speaking to me. But the wind was not the Lord. Okay. After the wind, there was an earthquake. Don't you imagine Elijah was going, oh, here it is. This is it. This has got to be it. It's this big noise. It's an earthquake. That's got to be the Lord. But the earthquake was not the Lord. After the earthquake, there was a fire. Okay, God, you're going to speak to me in a fire. Kind of like Moses, maybe. There was a fire, but that fire was not the Lord. And after the fire, there was a gentle, quiet voice. And that it may have been the last thing Elijah was expecting. And I don't know, I always imagine things that may or may not be true, but I imagine that he goes, what? That can't be God. God speaks in these loud voices, and he speaks in fire and all that stuff. So sometimes maybe we can't hear him because we expect him to sound a certain way or to come to us a certain way. Maybe we're set up in our minds to think that God always speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks to us through the Bible, but there are other ways. Maybe we're set up to where we think God's always going to talk to me through other people, through wise people with wise teachings. God speaks to us that way. But there are other ways. So your expectation may make a difference, okay? Why hasn't God chosen me? It's here somewhere. Okay. Are you willing to do whatever God wants? That's a good question. Why would God talk to you and ask you to do something if he knows already you're not willing to do it? Okay, that's a really good question. Are you willing, if God asked you to quit your job? That's a tough one. It would take a lot of faith to do that and certainty that it's God's voice. Would you be willing to sell your house and move? I've known people who sold their house and moved because God told them to. Would you be willing, let's get a little less risky. Would you be willing to drive across town on a moment's notice? I had a friend who told me that one day she started to go to the grocery store to buy a few groceries, and she heard a voice in her saying, no, go to this store, and it was a store that was like 20 or 30 minutes away. And she decided, well, it couldn't hurt. Maybe that's God talking to me. And she went to that store that was 20 or 30 minutes away, and she was shopping. Nothing happened. There didn't seem to be anything going on, And she checked out at the checkout stand, and nothing was going on. Nothing happened. And then she went out in the parking lot and put her groceries in her car. Nothing was happening. And as she was about to get into her car, a young lady approached her and said, I have asked so many people for help. I have a flat tire. I need $5 so I can, I don't know what it was. She needed $5 for something. And she had been turned down by several people because she had walked a couple of miles from her car where her flat tire was. And I don't remember what it was for, but she needed $5. I think she and her child hadn't eaten that day or something. But anyway, she did give her the money. And besides that, she drove her back to her car. She helped her to get someone to fix it. And God knew that that day at that place, nobody was going to be willing to help that young lady with her little child. So he called on someone 30 minutes away that he knew would answer the call. So, and the hardest thing of all, would you, if God spoke to you, and he told you to do this, would you do it? Would you be happy with doing it? Would you stay where you are and keep doing what you're doing? That's really hard, because some people, they want more. They want to do more. They want to be used more. They want to be used in some spectacular, wonderful way. But maybe God's saying, stay right where you're at. Do what you're doing. If I need you, I'll call you. That's hard, in my opinion, because that's what he does with me all the time, and I'm not always lacking it. All right? So why hasn't God chosen me? Another question. Are you the right person for the job? Do you have the right skill set or the right personality? Would you send a snake to a horse racing track and put a jockey on him? No, because he doesn't have the right skill set. He doesn't have the right physical ability. He doesn't have the right personality. Could God turn that snake into a horse? Yes. Is he gonna? Probably not. He's probably gonna choose a horse, don't you think? Are you the right person for the job? Oops, wrong gadget. This one. Are you in the right situation? For example, is God going to speak to a man and tell the man to go to a shelter for abused women and minister to the women there when they won't even allow men in there? I doubt it. Probably he's going to touch the shoulder of a woman or speak to a woman or have a woman get a phone call, and the woman is going to go and meet that need. So, are you the right person? Are you in the right place? Okay, most of the time, not always, but most of the time, God's not going to call somebody from California to minister to one person in Texas. There are probably people in California who would hear that call. Now, he did call Sarah to minister to New York, but that's a whole nother story. She was in the right place at the right time. She went to college up there. And that's where it all began. All right? And there's the whole right time thing. Is this the right time? Okay? Are you the right person for the job? In other words, are you appropriately placed in time to be of use to God in a particular situation? Maybe not. Maybe you need to wait a year, and then you'll be in the right time, okay? And it's not just like the clock is moving around time. It's also, is this the right time in your life? Is this the right time in the life of the person he wants you to help? That kind of stuff, okay? I know I don't have any bells and whistles or swords and post-it notes this week, but next week I'll try to have some to help keep you awake, okay? All right, why hasn't God chose me? Another question is, are you willing to listen? Joan of Arc said, God speaks to everyone. I just listen. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to learn to listen to God's voice? I don't know. Can you maybe give up 30 minutes of TV time or computer time or video game time or whatever it is you spend your time on? Are you willing to get up 30 minutes early? Are you willing to go to bed early so you'll be awake 30 minutes early? Are you willing to work at learning to be still and quiet? Mother Teresa said, in the silence of the heart, God speaks. If you face God in prayer and silence, God will speak to you. Are you willing? Okay, where is it? Uh-oh. No. Something's missing. Oh, it's there. I just went right through it. Okay. Are you willing to spend time meditating and listening? The quote from Mother Teresa continues, then you will know that you are nothing. It is only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, that God can fill you with himself. Souls of prayer are souls of great silence. That's something to think about, something to decide if you really agree with that or not. And then are you willing to listen with your ears, your eyes, your heart, and your spirit?